I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. This is episode 9. I'm Hannah Norris. And I'm here with
Carl Donnelly, husband, comedian, father-to-be.
Of the baby that is growing inside my stomach. Not in my stomach.
Womb.
In my womb.
Yes. We should learn 9 weeks. Oh, not 9 weeks. Now, what, 14?
14 weeks.
14 weeks into pregnancy, you should know it's in the womb.
Yeah. It's inside my torso, my body.
Yep.
My belly. Is it my belly?
I say belly.
But not my stomach. That would be a baby that I've eaten.
Yes. Yeah.
And would probably not be growing.
But it's Christmas, so it feels like we've eaten babies.
Yes. So we're at week 14 of my pregnancy. And for people who've been listening and new listeners, this series has been going week by week throughout my pregnancy, and we've been talking to guests and talking to each other over that time about what's going on, stuff we're learning, finding out about, all sorts of different things. And like Carl said, it has been Christmas this week, yes. So it is just the two of us.
Yay.
Yeah, which is also something that we've been talking about with this Christmas, that it is the last one, it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the first Christmas with a small baby is still, you know, you don't have to go overboard with presents and things.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's still definitely the first one where we've not got a child.
Yeah, it is definitely the first one where we've not got a child.
Yeah. And it's probably the last one where we get to give each other loads of presents.
That's the thing that I'm thinking, that we'll have to downgrade a bit the presents that we give to each other. Do you know, there was that thing that I read the other week. Remember I said to you, there's an idea. It was a friend of mine on Facebook who is a mother, and she'd posted it about just giving 4 gifts to your child,
which is
something they want,
yes,
something they need,
yep,
something to wear, and something to read.
What does a child need?
They might need like new shoes.
Surely that should just be something you provide as the parent.
No, they have to wait until Christmas.
Wait. You walk barefoot until Christmas. Thank you.
They might need, I don't know, but it might be something that they want, but that is actually useful to them as well. So, you know, at a later stage, I don't know, they have to have laptops and shit like that.
I suppose, yeah.
Or a phone at some point.
I think the want and need, there's a lot of grey area between those.
Yeah, but they might want like something completely.
But to a child, you need, that's, they think they need.
Yeah, but we get to discern what's necessary and what's just wanted.
Sounds like you're going to be a very totalitarian mother.
I'm a very strict person. but I like the idea of that.
I love it. It's a great idea. I know from my nephews and niece that they just get so many presents.
Yeah.
And it's just too much stuff.
Yeah.
No, they love it, and I'm not having a go at being a Grinch or anything, but it's just so much stuff to then have to store.
Yeah. And the thing is with this suggestion is that you can't necessarily impose that on other family members, so you probably are likely still to receive, or you may receive stuff. But, you know, the way that you – When you have Christmas, like remembering back to Christmas as a kid, you always had a favourite present anyway.
Yeah, but I was chatting to a friend and we were reminiscing about what it was like to be a kid. Mm. And we were saying that all my memories of early childhood were you got one big present. That was it. One big present and loads of other little bits and bobs, but they didn't mean nothing. I remember just being like, it's all about that big box.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a British thing or what, but yeah, we were saying that that is our lasting memory of just, we could not wait to open the big one.
I don't particularly remember getting just one big one. I had lots of presents. Like, we were talking about stockings as well, that you don't, not sure if you had a stocking.
No, we've never had stockings in my family.
Yeah.
That we've put presents in. We do have a Christmas tradition where we all wear them.
Just a sock free, the sock free Donnellys.
Yeah.
But yeah, that thing. Oh, and another thing that I read about, you know, about, this was probably about 5 years ago, that I thought was really great, was that you wrap up 24 books that you already have,
yeah,
if you have 24 books, of your child's books, and you put them under the tree, and they open one every night before Christmas. So yeah, you're just reading a bedtime story, but they get to unwrap a present that becomes the book and the story for that night.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah, but then you just have 24 unfinished books by the end of...
No, because kids' books are short.
Oh, kids' books. Yeah. I thought you said books you have, as in like, I'm just going to read them a bit of... Catcher in the Rye.
No. just the first chapter of American Psycho.
Yeah, this is great. It's really, you know, easy to get into a book.
No, kids' books that they can be excited about.
They are quick. You can do them in a night.
Yeah, correct. but I also think those kind of ideas that are very, you know, like a lot of the things that we talk about in terms of parenthood at this stage before we are parents, they're kind of idealized versions of how you want it to be.
Yes.
Like just four presents. I love that idea, but I'm going to struggle. Oh, that was upstairs.
Oh, was it?
I'm going to struggle with just trying to limit myself.
Definitely.
But we'll try.
Yes, that is our, we have made that pact just now on air.
Yes.
That as of next year, we will only be buying four each or between.
Four, I don't know.
Between us.
Yeah, between us.
Oh, God, that's even harder. That's half a present.
And four for each other as well.
Okay. Oh, that's rubbish.
Because we got more than four each this year from each other. One of the presents that you gave me, I'm currently wearing. They are some maternity jeans.
Yes.
Which I felt like, putting them on felt great. Felt really good to wear some jeans,
yeah,
and some trousers, because I've been doing lots of tights and skirts and dresses, or just tracksuit pants, which I don't particularly like wearing them. I've been feeling pretty, I don't know, slobby.
Yeah,
but I've just been putting them on and wearing them a lot, so it feels good to wear jeans today.
Yes, even and they have got a massive, like, yeah, got 5-inch waistband,
stretchy waistband.
They look very comfortable.
They are. They cool. Feel good.
So thanks for them, Carl. Some.
Yeah,
I said you should sell some. There should be men's ones, which you call Christmas jeans, where you just roll them out for that 2 weeks over the Christmas period, where you're eating, you know, 6 to 8 square meals a day.
Yeah.
Just to help you through the period.
Yeah. Well, I started looking up that thing this morning when we spoke to Nan a few weeks ago, and she talked about those inserts you can put into your jeans to open them up. So I was looking at them today because I was like, great, I'm wearing trousers again. And there's loads of them that are for men.
Just for the larger man.
Yep. Just once your pants don't fit anymore, you get a little extender. And
I suppose it's quite a good way of saying... Yeah, if it's temporary, you think I'm now gonna, you know, just cut down my eating and lose a bit of weight, you know, it's quite a good thing to buy rather than just buy loads of new bigger jeans.
Yeah,
just buy the temporary straps.
Yeah.
To hold them on.
And I think because they don't, like, I was looking at some of the photos of them, and that I was like, I don't know if I could wear that. It feels so weird just having your jeans open.
Yeah, with a flap.
Yeah, with a flap weird. Underneath yeah. It.
Some
but I'm gonna try.
Some
it.
Of them didn't have the flap. They just have the sort of the strap.
But I wonder if, you know, if it was at that point that you were putting on weight and you would rather not be, that there's a little bit of humiliation in wearing these extenders, knowing that your pants are open,
yeah,
that you might actually work on doing something about it.
Maybe.
Some other presents that we got for Christmas was my mum sent us another baby outfit.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
It's sort of, I'd say, gender neutral.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't adhere to...
Or unisex, which I've realised is the old word for that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't, you know, it's not pink or blue. It doesn't adhere to any stereotypes.
But it's just black with bright pink, and it's got, like...
Yeah, it's cool. It's got cool
parrots on it with things. But it's interesting. that there's definitely still that feeling amongst some other people who don't feel happy about buying clothes for us that might be too gender specific. Yes. Like a friend saying the other day, looking at something with unicorns on it and then not wanting to buy it in case we had a boy.
Yeah.
And I was like, if we have a boy, he can definitely wear unicorns.
Yeah, wear what he wants.
Yeah.
What a wear what we want, essentially. That's what I'm saying there. Yeah, I think, we're at the point now where people keep asking if
It's the question. So since we've started, since kind of the news has been spreading a little bit, that's almost the first question we get from people is like, do you know what sex it is? And what, oh, well, are you going to find out?
Yeah. And I've been saying maybe. I'm still sort of, I'm not like definitely, I'm not like definitely not. I'm just in that middle ground of saying to people, well, I don't know, maybe. And there are some people that are like, yeah, that's cool. That's the best way to be. I've only encountered a couple of people that have like vehemently gone, you need to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just said because they needed to prepare, but I don't really know what you can prepare for differently.
I think there are those things. Someone was talking to us, weren't they, about when you see those people around who've got brown prams or green prams, you know, that they didn't know what they were going to have and might have had a last minute panic or something like that. But that doesn't necessarily signify anything to me.
No.
My friend asked me today as well, and she said in Australia they do this thing called the Harmony Test, which you can do at 10 weeks where you find out the sex and also kind of scan for different problems. And I looked that up today and they don't – it's not a test that you do here.
Yes.
Even though we probably could have found out the last scan, but we didn't know that we could have.
Maybe we were meant to request it rather than
– Yeah.
Maybe they don't just offer it.
Yeah. Yep. So, our next one's at 20 weeks, which is the start of February.
Yes.
Which is when we will find out. Maybe. Or not.
Yeah.
And my mum sent me a book. I think, I don't know if I said that for my birthday, she sent me a book that was from 1979 when she was pregnant with me. So I started flicking through that the other night, just looking at the first 3 months. And it's a month by month pregnancy thing. It's just interesting things like the pictures of the growing fetus is all sort of a hand drawing of what a fetus would be like, rather than the more, you know, technical things we'd have now.
Yeah.
And there was this bit about home confinement as well, which I need to look into, which is this idea that if you are going to have home confinement, then there's certain things you didn't need to do, which I guess meant that even in the 70s that some women just stayed at home for their whole pregnancy because they weren't going to go outside and kind of not show off that they were pregnant or not just reveal that they were pregnant. Or not
carry on doing what they were doing up to that point. Yeah, I suppose it probably is quite a modern development of people just carrying on doing what they're doing right up until, giving birth.
Yeah. And so that I've got that one from my mum. And then for Christmas, she sent another book, which was her mum's. Guide to Motherhood, and it's dated inside 1946, which was just before my mum was born in 47. And that's pretty amazing I've just skimmed through a couple of pages of that, and there was a diagram I saw which was about the way a nursery should be set up and the mother's bed and the window and the airflow from the window and the child's cot in the corner and then the fireplaces across the room from then there was another one about feeding and breastfeeding, and then kind of you breastfeed at 6 a.m., 10 a.m., 12, 2 or something, and then at 6 p.m. you gave them a different sort of feed, and it was like New Zealand cream and sugar and all these things. So I'm really interested to look at that and see before we kind of, the book now, the What to Expect When You're Expecting book is like a dictionary thickness, which we don't have. But just seeing what the kind of advice was then.
Yeah.
And maybe the simplicity of some of that.
Definitely. Well, that's the thing. I think, there comes to a point when information, it's almost overload, isn't it? Where, it's nicer to have, obviously some of that will be outdated in that book, but I'm sure there'll be some that actually is a much more simplistic version of what you would now buy 5 books to tell you.
Yeah. Or buy 5 different prams and toys compared to what they suggest you might need when you have a child, all that kind of stuff. And I got you a present, which is a little key ring.
Yes, a keyring with the ultrasound print on it.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Which I figured, because I've just got the baby in me every day, yeah, and then you get to have it on a keyring.
But where can I... The problem is, it won't... If I put it on my keyring, they probably won't fit in my jean pockets.
They might.
But I wear tight jeans.
Well, we'll see. Well, the baby doesn't fit in my stomach.
Well, that's what I need to find. Should I put it on a chain or something? Or
have you tried it on to fit in your pocket?
I'm aware of how my keys fit in my pocket. So that's, yeah, I haven't.
Well, maybe that's even a more interesting experiment. Like I was saying, my body's changing with the baby inside me, and your jeans could change with the baby inside your pocket.
Put it in me.
You've got to swallow it.
Yeah, I'm going to swallow it for the rest of the duration of the pregnancy. And every time it comes out, I re-swallow it.
Okay, so it sounds like that was a fail of a present.
It's not a fail, it's a lovely present. I just haven't worked out yet where I'm going to be keeping it, on keys or on something else that comes with me at all times. Mm-hmm. That is the... I've not left the house since Christmas, so I've not had to make that decision.
Yeah, but we haven't gone outside.
No.
And you can maybe hear just every now and then I've got my little bell necklace on, which is something I really wanted to get. Wendy Wason talked to us about them and reminded me. I'd seen pregnant women wearing them in the past, and some friends gave it to me for my birthday, so I've started wearing that.
Yes,
which I like.
Nice.
Yeah. And in terms of how I'm feeling in pregnancy right now, it really feels like I'm in quite a cruisy phase. Like I read that somewhere about the second trimester that you become, that you kind of cruise along for a bit. There's not too many symptoms or, bodily stuff at least in the first portion of this. For a while I was thinking I was still really tired, but I think I was doing lots of things. So I was tired because I was a bit busy, rather than just being tired because I was building a baby.
Yeah.
But I know there's some things that are coming up soon that I'm starting to just look out for a little bit, like kicking is supposed to happen maybe from around week 16 to week 20 is often when people feel the first one. So being in week 14 right now, I do quite a lot of being quiet and touching my stomach and seeing if there's anything. But
do we know what size is it now in fruit terms?
Do you remember? I told you.
I know. Hang
beetroot.
On. Beetroot, that's it. Fruit or veg. Is beetroot a vegetable?
Yes.
That's a root vegetable. Yeah. This is. So that's good. So we've moved up from fruit into vegetables.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The round shape of a beetroot is a bit funnier because we've had jalapenos and things like that are more sort of baby shaped.
Yeah.
But a big old big circle. Old round,
yeah. Well, I suppose if it's all curled up, it might be beetrooty.
And the other thing is the hearing, which is partly wearing the little bell thing. I thought that was around week 14. I know the ears are kind of in place and developing, and the inner ear, but it's actually not for about a couple more weeks where the baby will start to hear sounds and things like that. And then I read something that's about week 24, which is when it will start to really hear conversations, and that's when it starts to hear voices, and then there'll be voices that will recognize once it's outside. And it said that the way that the voices sound, it's kind of like if you're having a conversation and you've got your hand in front of your mouth and you're having the conversation, that's what it sounds like. Go try it.
Just talking like that. That's
nice. So that's why with singing and things like that, it's much more, melodic, and it hears different range. And so there'll be songs that then it remembers when it comes out.
That's what the thing I said to you last night was that I'm still working my way through that book, They Fuck You Up.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a famous parenting book from the mid-2000s, I think. And it's, the reason I'm still working my way through it is like...
Small font.
It's Christmas, small font, and I've hardly read for about the last 10 days.
Yeah.
And it sort of dispels a lot of the myths or beliefs about just how much of a child's behaviour is genetic. Like it says, it talks how most people think everything pretty much is genetic, and it actually sort of swings the pendulum a bit back towards nurture rather than nature. It talks about, obviously there's a lot that is genetic, but a lot of it is also just early childhood and things that they experience. And it talks about music. People assume that musical kids are just born with it. And it actually says that a lot of it is picked up from, kids that are raised in sort of musical households, and if they're exposed to singing like in the womb and like when they're very, very young, they're much more likely to be musical going forwards.
Yeah.
So I said that because I was like, we need to sing all the time.
Which we have been because we saw Les Mis the other day. So
we've been breaking into musical.
Girls Obsessed.
I saw the musical on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Christmas night, watched the film.
Yeah. We were going to watch the concert.
Yes.
But we haven't yet.
And this comes from me. I've always said I hated musicals up until this year. So what I'm saying is.
It's really turning into a dad.
I want to breed a musical theatre star.
Yuck, I'm not sure about that.
I don't care what you think.
One of the things that, I mean, for about, I used to really be into Shakespeare, and I've read a lot of Shakespeare plays and I've performed Shakespeare, but I've never read the complete works, and that has been on my to-do list for 15 years.
Yeah.
So that's one of my plans, is to start reading it out loud to the baby.
That's good.
Actually, just to myself out loud, and also practicing my English accent sometimes, and sometimes doing it normally, but just out loud. Getting used to that rhythm, and kind of kills two birds with one stone.
Well, I've just thought about this last few days. I've got a New Year's resolution I'm going to do, which is I'm going to write a sort of a journal in the run up from like 1st of January of things I would like to tell the baby.
Yeah.
Not when it's not a baby, obviously when it's a bit older. Thoughts and like maybe bits of wisdom or, you know, advice that I might forget. Because once it's around, you know, you're too busy to remember these things.
Yeah.
So you might think of something you'd like to tell them, but then when they're 12 years old and you've forgotten it. So I think I'm going to try and do a little...
That's beautiful.
Some thoughts for the child.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
It also reminds me of when we went to see Bryony Kimming's Bitch.
Which is a brilliant show.
Yeah. And there's a moment where she's we were at a relaxed performance.
Yeah.
Where... for people who have learning disabilities or have special needs, are able to be there and kind of feel comfortable in that environment. And so there were people there. And one woman who...
She's a performer.
Yeah, Jess.
Yeah, she's got quite severe, I suppose is the word, Tourette's. It's very vocal.
Yeah.
And she normally uses the word biscuits as sort of a...
Go-to word,
yeah. It's her tick. She's taught herself to say biscuits.
And lots of performers know her because she's often in Edinburgh and sees lots of stuff.
So she...
And there's a bit where Bryony was recording things she wanted to say to Frank, to her son. Don't fuck a dog.
Yeah.
which was great advice.
Might be the name of my book.
Yeah.
When I finished writing these words
for the child.
For the child. Don't fuck a dog.
That gave Carl the giggles for. Oh,
God, I was crying laughing for so long.
Yeah.
Everyone around
got over it.
Got over it quite quickly. Quicker than you should be able to get over somebody shouting that in public. Because I suppose everyone like sort of went, you know, laughed. But then we are at the theatre.
And it was fine. It was integrated into the performance.
Totally.
There was nothing.
Bryony dealt with it great because they're friends.
Yeah.
It was, but it was just, I just couldn't stop laughing.
It was too funny for you to cope with.
Yeah. Brian and Roger met at a support meeting for divorced men. Both are starting again.
Hello, Roger. It's Brian. Thanks for helping me move in.
Both are finding it hard.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger. No problem about helping you move in there.
One of them is nice.
Good morning, Roger. It's Brian. I had that dream again. About Carol Kirkwood.
Brian and Roger is an addictive and hilarious podcast sitcom from Dan Skinner from Angelos Epithemiou and Shooting Stars and Harry Peacock from Toast of London.
Great Big Owl.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One of the, like, in terms of sort of having no symptoms going on at the moment, there's still some food stuff happening. Like, I think my appetite is smaller. Like, with Christmas dinner, I didn't eat. Like, I ate a third of my plate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when we had the follow-up Christmas dinner, I ate maybe half of my plate, which feels like it must be that there's things pushing on my organs, so I don't actually have the space to consume the same amount of food that I would have. But there's things like when I wake up in the morning, I'm hungry and I need to eat.
Yes.
As soon as I need to eat something straight away, which often prior to being pregnant, I wouldn't eat till midday.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not a particularly breakfasty person, but it's very necessary at the moment. And the other thing is I still have a little bit of an aversion to green. To greens.
This morning I cooked breakfast. I cooked lovely scrambled tofu on some sourdough bread.
Mm-hmm.
And I just roasted up some kale and little cherry tomatoes and sprouts. And yeah, I left
my greens.
I could see you just couldn't do it.
No. And we used to have them every day.
Totally.
And I know that when I saw my acupuncturist once, she said, it sounds, you know, they're all sort of from the same bitter family.
Yeah.
And so I was looking, you know, that is a possible kind of, family of foods to have an aversion to. Like, it makes sense. They're related to each other. Like I was saying, spinach, the idea of spinach is fine and rocket is fine. But just kind of those guys. But then it makes me worried that what if we have a child and they don't like kales and sprouts?
Yeah. Well, you were saying the other day, you're worried you're going to give it a sugar addiction.
Yeah.
Because we've been eating a lot of Christmas sweets.
Oh. I know, like,
it's Christmas.
No, but it's been a thing in my head for a long time because I know that I have a relationship to food and to, siren. I have a relationship to food and to sweet food that I can see patterns that I've inherited from my mum. And I've worked on that and improved on that. And particularly, I love sweet stuff. I love fruit and sugars. I love it.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, in the past, I've been like, if I have a child one day, I hope that they, you know, I hope to change those patterns and that they won't. Yeah. But then I just ate about 10 chocolates before.
But I suppose about, like, I definitely think my love of sweet stuff,
mm.
me and my brother both were like sweet obsessives.
Mm.
And I genuinely think it's because of my dad has got a really sweet tooth.
Yeah.
And my mum always used to sort of tell him off for,
she
almost made it like contraband. Sweet. So me and my brother saw it as like let's go and buy sweets and eat them in our bedroom.
Yeah.
So like my mum once found an empty Sara Lee chocolate gatto box under my brother's pillow, which is horrible. But so like I think so the moment I became an adult and I could buy my own sweets,
yeah,
I thought, well, I'll never be told no again.
Yeah.
So I've got quite a bad relationship with them, and I just think I'm quite gluttonous with them. So I think in the new year, I'm going.
Yeah, no, you're good at you're good at going off, but I'm also kind of just responding to what my body is asking for. But
it's chocolate truffles every day,
And orange juice. Mm.
Yeah, you are loving orange juice at the minute, and with ginger in it.
Yeah, I think it's an easy vitamin C hit, but it's also sweet.
Yes,
but it's another thing my acupuncturist told me is that when you consume sugar, once the baby starts consuming amniotic fluid, it drinks way more than it would usually because it just starts getting the taste of it.
So the last 3 or 4 days, it has been carnage. Yeah. It's just sapping it all up.
Yeah, I'm surprised I can't feel it kick because it is probably going
mental
in there, having the best time. And I didn't talk to you about this. This week I had a conversation with someone that I work with who, she's Portuguese and is the mother of a, I think, 4 or 5 year old, but she's the first person who started talking to me about veganism and eating meat.
Yes.
And sort of saying, well, you're going to have to start eating meat because right. your baby will need it, which I haven't, I haven't come up with that. I haven't come up against that argument
yet, yeah.
which, I sort of just let her say her piece. I'm not, I have no, if I went to a doctor and there was some issue and the doctor suggested that, then I'd be in a bit of a quandary and have to figure something out. But from her advice, I don't need to. But she was trying to tell me about a friend of hers who was a vegetarian, and the doctor said she had to eat meat. And but every time she ate meat, she threw up.
Yeah.
But he still said she had to eat it. She had to find some sort of meat that she could eat.
But just meat, every meat's got different nutrients and stuff. That's how saying you've got to eat meat doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I'm not a nutritionist, but I know that eating a bit of chicken has totally different nutrients to eating a bit of lamb's liver.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That one's full of iron, one isn't. Like,
yeah.
So I suppose there must be that a lot of it is just myth, isn't it? Where people don't understand what's in food.
Well, it's like you talk about when people ask, say, where do you get your protein from? You say, well, I'm not dead, so I must be getting it from somewhere.
Yeah. And I know I know where I get my protein from. There's loads of places.
Yeah.
it's quite easy. Protein's not a hard one to get.
Yeah.
So I think, it's that thing of, knowing what, if you felt like you were lacking in something, finding a suitable.
Or if you have some sort of test in one of the doctor's appointments and they say there's a problem here. I don't imagine that would be the advice necessarily.
I don't think it would nowadays. Anymore. I think doctors are much more nutritionally minded than they were. Even the last couple of years, I remember getting a blood test 3 years ago or something. And they asked about my diet and things. And I said, I've been vegan for 4 years, whatever. And they said, oh, we'll be able to tell if you're lacking anything.
Yeah.
And they told me that every level of everything that you should have in your diet, they said, I was absolutely fine. They said, the only one, I was probably slightly under in iron.
Yeah.
And they said, but not to a point where we're saying you need to get iron. Yeah. But they said, if you wanted to just top it up, make sure you've got a multivitamin or something that's got a bit of iron in it.
Yeah.
It was that. They said every other level. And at that point, I wasn't somebody who was consciously trying to eat a balanced diet. I was just eating what I like.
Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of a, I think it's a bit overblown.
Yeah, definitely. And it does seem like, I'm sure in that book of my grandmother's from motherhood, there's going to be like, you've got to eat liver and kidneys and
absolutely. Blah, blah, blah. But I think you eat a very balanced diet, so I think you're going to. When truffles. I know some people would say, no, but the rest of the time,
yeah.
I think you've got a very way more balanced diet than I do. You eat much more fruit and you love greens and salads and all that sort of stuff. Like I like chunks of each of those things, but I don't dive towards them like you do.
Yeah, which definitely that's a thing. From sort of having a few Christmas dinners, that I'm definitely want fresh foods. But again, I don't relate that to pregnancy at all, which is something I've said the whole way along, that I've had way more cravings before I was pregnant for foods than I've had during my pregnancy.
If anything, it's calmed you down.
Yeah, I'm just more chill and there's things I don't want to eat, actually. The other thing I want to start doing some exercise, probably from not going out of the house the past couple of days. But I'm going to start looking into yoga, doing some yoga at home.
Yes.
Used to do yoga with Adrienne, who's amazing.
Yeah, she's the best.
I love her on YouTube. I like her because she's great. She's a very good teacher. And because they're not too long, the sessions, you can find one to kind of fit your what time you've got. You can do a 12-minute one or a 35-minute session with her. But she's only got one sort of pregnancy. She's only got one video about pregnancy and for the trimesters. So I started looking into a few different yoga pregnancy videos. Yeah. So if anyone listening and knows anything good, let me know, because I'll do some research as well. I found one that I'm going to do tomorrow. Because I feel like I need to just start stretching my body.
What about going to like one of them water aerobics classes that some pregnant ladies go to?
Something about swimming pools that gross me out.
Really?
Yeah. Like communal swimming pools. I think there's a couple of memories from my childhood, like when a Band-Aid floated past me. Yeah. Gross.
Also, me and my friend, I mean, this is gross, but when we were very little, we used to just wee in them.
No.
As a laugh, we'd sort of all be laughing.
Yeah, naughty boys.
I know, sorry.
Naughty. This morning as well, I got out my blue maternity folder, which anyone who's at week 14 or a few weeks before will have one of these in the UK. If you're going through the NHS, so not everybody. And that's got sort of the timeline of appointments and things that we have to have. And so I just looked in there and saw, oh yeah, I can get free prescriptions, and I've forgotten to send that form back, which I haven't needed yet. Yeah. But when you send it in, then it dates kind of the month prior or the month. Anyway, it dates around the time that you send the form in. And until, I think it's a year after you give birth. So I've got to send that in.
Yes.
And I also saw a couple of things for some different classes. There's one that's it's about pelvic floor and about strengthening and stretching that you go to a hospital to do, which you're supposed to do between week 12 and week 20. So I'm now in that time frame and should sort that out. And there was another one for parenting and breastfeeding class where they give you a range of dates and suggest at what time during your pregnancy you should be going to that. So it's like week 34 or something like that. But I've emailed to book that in today. And we also booked in for some NCT classes.
And we have NCT.
Like a West couple London of parents.
Yeah. Meet some cool new parents.
Yeah, so you get a WhatsApp group out of that. I think that's really? The main. Yeah.
Yes.
That's where you text each other and you're like,
I'm good in a WhatsApp group. Can I join it? Is it just
I don't know. Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, I've jumped on this a bit too much.
Maybe. I don't know if it's for birth partners as well as mothers. Might be.
Me and the other crew, the partners, will set our own one up. Splinter group.
Yeah, well, that's part of...
That's also one of my favourite things is if you're in a WhatsApp group...
And there's a splinter.
If it's a splinter one and you're in it, you feel really exclusive.
And maybe... So if there's a WhatsApp group and you're not in a splinter group, then there's probably one that you're not in. Maybe if it's a large WhatsApp group.
I mean, you'd only know about splinter group if you're in it.
But so if you're not in one, then some of them might have a splinter group that you're not in.
All groups have. Oh god, do they all have one? I'm not in. No, don't get me wrong. I'm sure I'm not in every splinter group. I can live with that. I'm fine with that information.
Yeah, I had something else that I was thinking about the NCT. Oh, NCT classes. I heard they book up really quickly.
Yes.
So we're not. This isn't till May, but I booked. I booked it because I didn't want to not have the chance to go to those classes because I've heard they're really good. So that's a tip. They book up fast. So find one in your area. You just look at the website. And there was one that was in really close to us, just in Queen's Park, but Carl's away that weekend. So they were able to offer us a one, which is 2 weeks later, still in the area, but a bit further afield. So we're going to do that instead. So that was good that they had that option for us. What else?
Well, we're going to go look at the birth centre.
Oh yeah,
that's something I've just realised we're doing. Is it next week?
Yeah, unless we go to Nottingham. But
we might be visiting my brother. If not, we're going to go check out the birth centre.
Yeah,
yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah,
which yeah will be very interesting because there are those. That was another thing I saw in the blue folder this morning was about if you are interested in home birth as an option, like even if just as an option, there's kind of a Saturday morning session at one of the hospitals at the first Saturday of every month that you can go to. So I want to look into that as well. But yeah, it'll be really good to go and scope out the birthing centre.
What if we don't like it?
Well, that's why we go.
I know, yeah, I suppose. But then, yeah, when we look elsewhere.
My thing is the fact that I've just of hearing of people not thinking they're going to a birth centre and that they're not getting the opportunity to use it.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. We've got that midwife chat as well, I think, next week. So just to discuss all that a bit more, you know, whether it is a viable option, the birth centre, or if it's sort of a bit of a dream or not.
Can I just say, when we watched something last night that was quite exciting about somebody who was born in the hospital, sort of next to the hospital we're doing. Which was Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Hannah loves Hugh Grant to like an almost worrying level. And we just lucked upon a, what was it, like a sort of
It was just a 1 hour special on Hugh Grant's life on film.
Yeah, and he just talked about how he was born in Hammersmith Hospital.
Yeah, but he's not sure because his mum's dead and his dad couldn't remember.
Yes.
But he thinks that's where he's born.
Yeah.
Which is just near where all his 800 children have been born since, he said.
So yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah, that was exciting. Yeah, better than the fact that it might be Boris Johnson's birthday.
That's the due date.
I had a possible... this is one of those things I don't know whether to blame it on pregnancy or just being a bit dumb one day, but I locked myself out of the house last week, which was really annoying. My mum sent me a text afterwards when I did a little Insta story going, oh, I'm locked out. And she wrote to me saying, oh, that's something that happens with baby brain. You lock yourself out of the house, you leave the stove on, go to the shops without your purse.
Yeah.
Just like I've done all of them. So that's something... to come, but I had to go to work. Carl was in Cardiff. Didn't want to think about how to fix the problem. But when we came back, I came back and was going to see if there were any. I was like, well, maybe if I've locked myself out, I've left a window open. If this has happened, that could happen too. So I was going to have a look around and see if I could climb in a window. And talking to Carl, and also realizing that being pregnant, that was something that I wasn't going to do.
Yeah, because you were just talking about just jumping over a fence and trying to climb in our bathroom window. And I said, I just suddenly was like, I mean, not, I would never tell you to not do something, but I think I was just the voice of reason saying maybe, you know, doing parkour around our garden might not be the wisest thing.
One that was rainy and slippery as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't do that, but I had the chef from the local cafe and his kitchen porter were out the front, so they came and jumped over the fence for me and scouted out the situation. And our house is very secure and they couldn't get in anywhere. So I just had to kill a few hours. Carl and I got a bit sad about it, which I think, I don't know if that's just normal or that was a bit pregnant.
I reckon it was a bit pregnant. You got more emotional than you normally would about just being locked out of the house for a few hours until I got back.
Yeah, so Carl came back early from Cardiff. Got a hire car, and in the meantime I killed some time and punished myself by going to see cats.
it's what you deserved.
Which I'm obsessed with it at the moment. I can't stop thinking about it and reading things about it, and I think I'm going to see it again. But that was good. I had another thing where you had some friends over and we ended up you'd all been out drinking.
It was exactly what I didn't want to happen. Well, no, I say that. Basically, I was having a little Christmas get together with some comedian friends and the plan was start early, finish early.
Yep.
You know, we were going to meet at 4 p.m., you know, 10, 11 o'clock. Everyone just goes their separate ways. But then you got a call at, what was it, about 10?
11.
I was at 11. Mm-hmm. With me saying, well, can we all come back to my ours and drink?
And I said, yes, of course, that'd be fun.
I knew you'd be absolutely fine with it. I think because everyone else, I think they were the ones who were a bit like, yeah, but she, you know, Hannah's pregnant. She doesn't want like four blokes in the kitchen laughing and joking and, you know, going out to the garden to smoke cigarettes and stuff. But yeah, it was fine.
But yes, I did. Yes. And then the moment you got back, the first thing, like for the first half an hour, I think we talked about pregnancy and birth. They just wanted to talk all about it. And one of them saying, I want a baby. I don't have a girlfriend, but I know I want a baby. I'm ready. I want one now. I've got to find somebody. And that, like those things that he wouldn't necessarily be going around. He wouldn't have come and said that if we weren't having a baby.
No, not at all.
So that was interesting. And then, of course, Jimmy, who's seeing that, like the doula.
He's met a doula.
So he's really into doulas and energy and natural birth. So we're going to get a lot of tips.
It's all coming together. I'm basically trying to convince Jimmy now to court a doula so we can get a mates rates.
Yeah. And they all wanted to be at the birth. That was another thing that came out.
Yeah, I think I drunkenly did agree that Jimmy could be at the birth.
But then the other two wanted to wait outside and just be there.
It's going to be like three men and a baby.
And then there was a big chat about masturbation as well and the clitoris and whether giving birth.
Oh, I don't remember this bit.
you probably checked out, actually. It was too much sexy talk for you to deal with.
Oh no!
But yeah, we did chat about that a
lovely
bit.
Lovely.
And then of course, because you've been drinking, I had another one of those moments when you came to bed where I was like, I don't want him to die.
Oh yeah.
I don't want him to die.
That's twice now.
Which I wouldn't. Well, I would never normally think that.
Because it's obviously not going to happen.
No. But it's a real, like, just lying there next to you and going, oh, yeah, I just don't want you to die.
I think I've had a few of those thoughts of, like, you know, what if?
Yeah.
Imagine I just got hit by a car. Or, yeah. I think I've just become a bit more aware of my own mortality.
Yeah. There's a little, like, when I'm walking around, if it's rainy, like, I'm just more cautious when I'm walking and making sure that I don't walk into people or go... There's just this extra level of care and yeah.
Although, and this is not, this is going to sound bleak, but in that book, They Fuck You Up, one of the things it does talk about is children who lose a parent in early life have a higher success rate of later mental health problems, but they also have a much higher success rate in financial, like income, and artistic success. So I'm just saying, worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, if I die, it will ultimately lead to our child creating good things.
I don't want to die.
I'm not going to die. I'm saying I'm definitely not going to.
What if I die?
But I'm saying I'm just trying to
If I die, that will be the same thing. If I die, they will have greater success and be better at finance.
Oh no. That's what I'm saying. It's just what I'm saying is that it's the tiniest of silver linings in a horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's not think about that.
Well, I mean, that's a great Christmas note to end on, really.
Yeah. Guys, don't, you know, don't worry. It'll turn out fine.
Yeah. Or not, which is to be found out, and which you can't necessarily control.
Correct.
So that's where we are at week 14. And, oh, I did look up. We forgot to acknowledge that, so 2 weeks ago, 11th of December, was 2 years since Keith Chegwin passed away.
Oh, yes.
So just remember him and R.I.P.
R.I.P. Keith Chegwin.
Yeah. Thanks for the name of the podcast. And we'll be back next week and I think we'll have a cool guest to chat to.
Thanks
for listening. Bye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
The fear.
The fear of missing out. The fear of going out. The fear of flying. The fear of dying. Imposter syndrome. Spiders. Pipes from Ghostwatch. Dolls with buttons for eyes.
We're all scared of something. But what are you scared of? Join me, Sarah Morgan, for The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror.
The secret lemonade drinker adverts. Geese. That time on Biker Grove when Ag McParlin got shot in the face with a paintball.
In each episode, I interview funny, interesting people I like. People like Phil Jupitus, Alice Lowe, Richard Osman, Riley Silverman, and Danielle Ward. About their biggest fears in a judgment-free environment. It is spooktacular.
The Fear.
And remember, do have nightmares because they're an entirely appropriate response to the horrors of modern living.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.